Welcome to the Ashley Hand Show and to Reignited, a series of potent conversations with incredible individuals who have risen from the ashes of who they once were and reimagined, rediscovered, realigned, and reignited the most liberated expression of who they are now. So if you're in the midst of a transition, a shift, or maybe even a dark night of the soul, this is for you. And as for me, I'm Ashley Han, brand strategist, entrepreneur, author, coach, and as of last year, I am now a mother, which in and of itself has been one of, if not the most transformational experience of my lifetime. It's why I took off over a year from this very podcast. I have been deep in my own process of rediscovering, realigning, and reigniting this new version of me. And if you want to hear more about that story, listen to the first episode of this series. Now, let's get ready to feel reinvigorated and reignited in today's episode. Oh, and be sure to stay tuned until the very end because I am announcing something super special and time sensitive that I'm really excited about. Let's dive into it. Hey, beautiful souls. I've got a returning favorite guest of my podcast today. Her name is Jenna Phillips Ballard. She's also one of my very closest, nearest, dearest, best friends. And she is sharing a story that she has not shared yet on my podcast. I'm super excited for her to share with you just a little bit of BG on Jenna Phillips Ballard. She began her career in 2006 as a certified personal trainer and mindset coach for celebrities. She's worked with Ben Stiller, Katy Perry, Jerry Piven. I don't know if I'm saying his last name wrong, but anyway, the Marciano family, the founders of Guess, and so many more. During this time, she was also LA's most sought-after fitness expert, and she was also guest on shows such as Dr. Phil and The Doctors. She's been featured on KTLA, Good Morning La La Land, The American Dream Show, and so much more. She discovered the world of emotional intelligence, experiential training, and somatic practices in 2009, and she realized she had a much bigger calling and began studying human behavior, leadership, and a variety of transformational methods. She became super passionate about coaching large groups of leaders to make a responsible, profound, and sustainable impact in their relationships, companies, and their communities. So in 2016, she co-founded ALA, Ascension Leadership Academy. Y'all have definitely heard me mention this somewhere if you've been following me for a while. It's been mentioned in my book. I've mentioned it on my podcast several times. I've mentioned it on platforms where I've been interviewed because I have so much infinite gratitude to ALA myself personally. This program was absolutely life-changing for me. And her husband, Brad Ballard, they founded this center together, and they were originally based out of San Diego and have now moved over to Austin, Texas. Together, they have coached thousands of people into their greatness and supported dozens of companies in 10xing their performance, their effectiveness, and their success. They've hosted over 100 trainings, events, and workshops, and they've collectively raised over $3 million for local nonprofit organizations. Also, Jenna is a mother of two boys, and because of that, she is so consciously creating the next generation of leaders and also makes sure to be a giant five-year-old with them. One of her mottos is that we don't stop playing because we get older. We get older because we stop playing. Amen to that. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. This one's super juicy. We're talking about her reignition story about a major health setback that she went through to actually create some really, really powerful steps forward in her life and what she's creating out in the world. So let's dive into it.
I got my girl, Jenna Phillips Ballard, in the house, y'all. I'm so excited you're here, babe. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and just sharing of your beautiful, big, genuine heart and your personal reignition story with us today.
Oh, anything for you, babe. I'm so happy to be here and just really looking forward to connecting with your audience.
Yay. And I'm really excited because I know this is your third time back on my podcast.
Sounds right.
Yep. A returning guest, a returning favorite guest. And I know this story has not been told on my podcast. And so I'm really excited for the listeners to really hear about it and connect to it. You know, Jenna had a major health setback and it actually led to some major steps forward and some blessings and some breakthroughs in her life. And I think the beautiful thing about her story, and I'm so excited for her to share with you guys, is sometimes things happen in our lives and we're like, why me? You know, or like, it's only natural, right? Like, I don't possibly see how this could be a blessing. There's no way. Like, I can't even see how this could be a blessing for me, right? And I'm sure like you felt some experience of that. And then I'm just excited for you to share that experience and then what it ended up turning into for you. So wherever you want to start, babe, you got the mic.
My goodness. Wherever I want to start. I would say that I think the biggest thing that I've been emerging from and navigating and healing through and growing through really would be the experience of discovering black mold in what I thought was my dream house in Encinitas. And it really just in the moment, I was like, oh, this is horrific. Oh, this is horrible. And oh, what an inconvenience. And oh man, this is probably not a good thing. But we found black mold in our house after my husband, Brad, who you know very, very well, and you've experienced him in many different ways over the last 7 years. And so there, I gave birth to our firstborn son at the end of 2019. And it was just a few months after that that he came to me in the kitchen. I'll never forget this for the rest of my life. And he said, I feel like I'm climbing out of a black hole that I can't get out. I feel like I've been in this black hole. My world is crumbling. I have suicidal thoughts. And when he came to me with that, I was 3 months postpartum and I went into immediate committed action, survival mode, like, okay, I get to put my postpartum to the side and man, I'm tired. And like, ooh, I just haven't gotten a lot of sleep, but like, great, cool. I get to support my husband in navigating his healing journey and his healing process. And I get to be the CEO of our business and also still kind of sort of every once in a while post on my social media for my personal brand. So it was just a lot of things that I got to really consider. But fast forward 7 months later, 8 months later, we found mold in our home. And the challenge in that was, I mean, two things. Number one, we were grateful. I was like, oh, this is actually starting to make sense. Now the panic attacks and the anxiety attacks that Brad was experiencing, now my brain fog, the chronic fatigue, the mental fatigue, the feeling of me being spiritually disconnected from source, which I'd never felt before. Just a lot of new experiences that I was just deciding that it was probably just because I was a new mom. This is what it means to be an underslept new mom with an infant. And so I was just basically chalking it up to that. But to have this understanding of like, oh, actually, I think that all these symptoms that we've been, these strange symptoms that mean that don't make any sense, like now I get it. And you know, then of course, Jax has a febrile seizure. We're rushed to the hospital. I take him to the ER. Scariest moment of my entire life. But it was that had me get reconnected to my gut instinct because the property management company and the landlord, they're like, it's mildew. You can just stay in the house. So we're staying in the house. But I was like, wait a second. This is very strange. Why is my son having a seizure out of nowhere? What is this random fever that just came out of nowhere? It's almost like that was the thing that had me get reconnected to source. My intuition, my most powerful compass, my inner guidance system. And so I really have this feeling, this gut feeling that we are in fact living in black mold. It's not just mildew. So I want to get some tests done and did blood tests, urine tests, tested our house. And then it was like off the charts, like black mold in our bodies, in our house, off the charts. And then it was crazy because then after that, all these leaks started happening all over the house. And we're like, okay, this is clearly a sign from source, from the universe that we get to, let's move to Austin now versus next year. So looking back now, how can I decide that all that happened for me? Because that was the catalyst that had us move out here sooner than later. Mm-hmm. Moving to Austin has been the best choice for us. But yeah, in the moment it was horrific. It was one of the toughest seasons of my life.
Yeah. I mean, that moment, I mean, postpartum, your first time dealing with it, because it is your first child, is already so much. And I know I just went through it. It's like that plus then, and this is a really hard but super beautiful moment that I just want to underline for listeners, that moment that Brad felt safe enough to go to you and say something that was so raw, yet so true, and probably so hard for him to come to you and say, like, honestly, it gets me emotional because I know Brad. And your response to it, like how you chose to respond to it, I know it probably would have been so much easier for so many women in a position like that to just be like, oh, well, I can't do this. F it. Like, if he can't do it, I'm in postpartum. Like, you know, I've always admired yours and Brad's relationship. And that right there, it's moments like that, that truly define a great relationship, because you're going to have moments throughout your life where someone falls off the horse and the other person gets to like hold that person's hand for a bit until he can get back on that horse. And you did that for Brad. And it wasn't an easy thing. It wasn't an easy choice. It was a really difficult choice for you. So I just want to acknowledge you and take a moment to just really celebrate that. And for listeners who are either in relationship or want relationship, moments like this happen, and let this be an example of what's possible. Because by the way, now Brad and Jenner are like freaking epic. I mean, they're just the most beautiful couple. There's reasons why, so many reasons why I admire them. I just really wanted to highlight that, babe, and really celebrate you and acknowledge you for the way you chose to respond and react to that. Super
huge.
Thank you
for that. Thank you. It was one of the, man, because we've both been, and in that, of course, like I'm leading the charge. I'm in my masculine in that. And just, so that was also a thing that I was like, ooh, I'm in my feminine, I'm receiving, I'm being a mom. And then I was like, oh, okay. So full on. And, you know, and not to make the masculine wrong, because that's something that I stand for, is the balancing of the masculine and feminine. We all have masculine and feminine energy. And I think that it's really important to, like my work is looking at how I can consistently operate from that central, that neutral place. And then now I get to be my masculine. Now I'm going to set that down and surrender and trust and allow and attract and receive. And so it was a somatic experience for me to realize that the masculine it's not sustainable for long periods of time. And so when we finally did move to Austin, it had been many months that I'd been leading my family. I mean, it was probably, I want to say like maybe 8, 9, 10 months that I was leading the family. And once we landed in Austin after, which another thing too, is we were supposed to get this house. We found the perfect one. It was the perfect house. We flew over there and he'd never been to Austin before. And he was open. I was like, we're moving to Austin. He's like, okay. So I fully had this intuitive hit from Soros, you're moving to Austin. And I just got to listen to that calling. So we're in Austin. We're looking at all these houses. The first one that we found was the one. And it was in this place, in this community called Steiner Ranch. And it was positioned somewhat close to a couple of my other friends. I was like, this is our neighborhood. Got the house. The guy's like, yes, totally, send in paperwork. We fly back to San Diego to continue packing and getting ready. Then we get this email saying we gave the house to somebody else. And so of course I'm freaking out, because we were not gonna be able to go back to Austin and go look for other houses. And we had a very specific timeline. And we were in it, man. Like we were in it. And then I was like, wait a second, what is something that I know to be true and something that always supports me in navigating when things don't work out? Mm-hmm. And it's the thought, it's the notion that something just as good, if not better, is available. Something just as good, if not better, something just as good, if not better. And so I said, babe, like, let's just trust that we were, for whatever reason, not supposed to get that house. We wound up looking at a few other listings. We had a real estate agent go and pick one. He's like, what about this one? Happened to be in Steiner Ranch. I looked at one of the pictures and there was this massive backyard with this forest on the other side of the gate. I was like, that's the one. So that wound up being our house, and we never saw it. We arrived, we planted. And then once we're all moved in, I'm like, I'm going to go explore this super secret garden. Like it felt like that. Like I got to be on this adventure. And what I discovered was miles and miles and miles and miles and miles of trails. And it was like this incredible healing place for me. And I found secret little creeks and lakes and rivers and waterfalls and like these little nooks. And it was literally where Source needed me to be. Like I needed to be there, because the other house, the backyard was like this hill and there was like a big cement wall and then houses on the other side. But I didn't even know that there was a trail system there. So because of this house,
wow.
And we planted there, and I came to Brad. This was after we'd been there for probably like a month or maybe 6 weeks. And I said, I cannot lead our family anymore. Are you ready to step up and lead our family? And he said, yes, I am. And because it was like the season, right? Like it's like we're always in these different seasons, and we've made this commitment to each other that we both can't be in our shit at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like we both cannot be in breakdown at the same time. Like that's our commitment that we've made to each other. So if we're both feeling kind of funky or icky or whatever, like one of us gets to make the choice to lead. And that's something that we dance really, really well. Like we really balance that out, but it's taken a lot of practice, and we haven't always been very skilled at that, but we've made that commitment to each other. And that has been one of like the saving graces for us in our relationship.
Oof. I love that so much. because Gerard and I struggle with that sometimes. It's like one person's in and then the other person gets pulled in and then we're both in our shit. And we're like, this, we're going nowhere fast.
Nowhere.
So I love that. I love that you guys have that agreement and how powerful, right? Like you said 8 to 10 months, like or so later, then you then coming to Brad saying almost identical thing. I mean, different, but similar, but you saying, okay, look, I can't lead the family. You know, I need you to step up. Can you do this? And then him being like, all right, like I got you. I mean, that's just so, so powerful. And I love the fact that you were able to surrender when that house didn't work out. It's so funny. We do this as humans, right? Like we set ourselves up. We're like, I'm going to sit and this is what I want. And I know this is what I want. We know this is what we want. Mm-hmm, and then it doesn't work out. And we're like, fuck, you know, and it's like, feels like everything's crumbling. And we're like, no, I love that you were able to shift in that moment to, and I love this mantra that you say, this or something better, and opening yourself up to that possibility. Because as you said yourself, you never even knew there was such a system of a whole like nature trail system available. So even if you like, you would have never even known to find a place like that. And so I just want to like really highlight this, guys, because we do this to ourselves. And what we do, what Jenna could have done in that moment, but she didn't, is cap herself and put a line in the sand saying, oh, there's nothing better than that available. Like, no, that was the thing. And in that moment, we cut ourselves off from freaking miracles and magic, which right. was exactly what ended up being in Jenna's backyard, y'all.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It was, and these are I experience miracles like these so often that oftentimes in the moment, it feels devastating. And the outcome, if we can all just look back, let's just do this for a second, all of us, all of you who are listening. I want you to look back at all the experiences of your life that maybe in the moment you thought that it was the end of your world or the end of the world or the end of whatever, yet somehow you made it through. Yet somehow it seemed to have all worked out. And it's like the universe always comes through somehow, some way. And it's when we are finitely attached to it, looking a specific way, we're blocking off all the other possibilities. Yeah. When we're not attached, then the possibilities are infinite, like literally endless. And so I think that's one of the things that like I love to support people in is realizing that there's always more. Like there's literally always more in life. There's always more. And so it's really like getting that, knowing that, understanding that, and then living that, because then we can create a whole other smorgasbord of fun things.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I know if you're listening to this podcast right now, there's a high chance, a high probability that you're like me, which means you tend to be a little bit of a controlling analyzer and you get rigidly attached to your agenda and your plan. Like, listen, I know. Okay, I get it. So this has been a huge lesson for me too. So I love that you're sharing it in this really real, relatable way. And I love the magic that ended up unfolding for you, because I know once, so you asked Brad, you came to him, you were like, well, you didn't really ask him. You straight up told him. You're like, I can't do this anymore. He's like, all right. Yeah. And then let's go into this freaking magical miracle journey that you had after that moment.
I went on this microdosing hiking journey on this trail system, and I memorized the entire trail system like the back of my hand. Like the magical thing was that I was literally hiking for 2 to 3 hours every single day. Microdosing, setting intention, listening to a very specific, articulated kind of playlist that was specific for what I wanted to experience that day. And I just hiked and explored. And I remember, because you could take all these different paths. Like you could go right and then left. You could go left and then right and then go up the hill or go down the hill. And so there were all these different ways that you could arrive at these different spots, these different places, and super magical little nooks and crannies. But the lesson for me in all of that, because it really was a somatic experience, was the reminder that we cannot take a wrong turn in life. And if we come up against a dead end, well, what do? We can just turn around and go a different way. It's not wrong. It's not bad. It's just like, oh, here I am. Okay, here I am again. It's like wherever you go, there you are. And so I really got to remember that. And I really got to connect, just get reassociated with my inner guidance system, where I would be kind of going on a path. And I'm like, oh, wait, I've been here before. I've never been here before. What would happen this way? And just really practicing trusting whatever choice that I made was fine. And that whatever choice that I made, whichever way that I went, then I would then find myself in a new place, a new experience. And then there was always something to learn. There was always something to come back to. But no matter which turn I, no matter which way I went, I always found my way home. And that's true for all of us, that in life, you cannot make a wrong turn. You can definitely get off path and off track, but you'll at some point discover that you're, oh, I wasn't meant to go this way. It's been a fun little detour. Well, let me just go back this way and then get right back on track. But it's trusting that aspect of ourselves.
Yeah.
Our intuition is never wrong. And we never are disconnected from it. It's just the belief that we are, or we've just kind of muted it or turned it down, but we always have access to that. So that was really powerful for me in that.
Oh, I love that so much. What that was sparking for me was I just came back from Burning Man, as you know. And at this last one and the first one too, I had moments like that where, I mean, Burning Man's, if you haven't gone, if you have, you know, it's freaking huge. It's massive. I mean, you could just pedal for just endless, and it just keeps going and going and going. And yeah, that I had moments like that where it was like, I really got to regulate my nervous system in the moment and just go back to, oh, wait, wait, I'm safe here. Like, I am home. I am home wherever I am. Like, I am, I've got me. And that was like a big thing for me, because if I was to go into panic and, you know, which I have done in the past, you know, I consider myself quote unquote GPS dependent, you know, or I would like call my dad in a freak panic. I don't know where I am. I'm about to freak out. It's like, hey, just take some breaths here. Like, trust yourself. Like, you're good. You got this. So I love that you were able to have that experience. And correct me if I'm wrong, were you also pregnant during this time or not yet?
I was not pregnant yet. No.
Okay,
so this was like the fall, winter of 2020. And I got pregnant in this August of 2021.
Oh, wow. So it was after this whole experience and this journey. My gosh. That's so amazing. How long were you doing this microdosing exploration journey?
I think this was like probably like a three to four month experience. And
wow.
It was, and some, there are some kind of microdosing journeys where you do like 3 days on, 4 days off, or 4 days on and 3 days off. But I wouldn't say every single day, but it was like very, very small dose where I got to just, I mean, I was so intentional moving my body, being in nature almost every day. So I would say there are probably like 1 or 2 days a week where I was not doing that, but it was the perfect medicine for me. It's what I needed. It's the healing that I was calling for and what was being called for me. So I think that like, that's the biggest thing, is that we all are our own medicine person. And then we just get to trust that. Sometimes we make healing very difficult. The healing is something that it will never be done. Like, we're always healing. We're always growing through something. We're always integrating, recovering. It's like, that's just like the natural flow of life. And something that I also really want to land is that everything is temporary. Right? Like, it's the good stuff, the challenging stuff, the deepest, darkest moments, the most exciting moments. I mean, every single thing is temporary. So that's the other thing too, is like, we can't hold on to moments because moments are fleeting. And we can't prevent moments from ending. We can't speed moments up. Like, we can't force or slow down the karmic speed of anything. And so I just got to really be present with whatever process I was navigating through and what I was experiencing, because the wisdom, like the potency of the wisdom and the stuff that I got to download in that whole process was life-changing. And it was grounding and it was humbling. And it really just had me remember who I am.
Yeah. And the other thing I also want to highlight too is the fact that you honored your body and you honored what you needed, and you went to Brad same as the way that he went to you, and you spoke up. I feel like a lot of women, you know, we are kind of bred to be these pleasers, and we can get in that pleaser pattern. And just for you to speak your truth and own that and follow that is also really huge. And you then going into this magical, expansive journey into the freaking magical wilderness of your backyard is just so, so beautiful. Okay. So then I know another sort of reignition experience happened because you got pregnant again.
Mm-hmm.
And
I sure did.
Yeah. And you got to experience such a contrast. I mean, you can just speak quickly to it if you want, of births, you know, from Jax, is it her firstborn son, to Jet, which is her secondborn. That in and of itself also was like, I feel like such a part of this journey, and it weaves in so beautifully.
Mm, yes. Well, my experience with Jax was I was in labor for 33 hours. At 36 weeks, they're like, "Ooh, your baby's really big." And he's 8 pounds already. So he's likely going to be 10 pounds at birth. And so it was a lot of fear mongering. It was like, "Oh, we're worried about shoulder dysplasia and stillborn and like all these things." I was like, "Ooh, I don't want any of that," because they were wanting me to get a C-section. I said, "I'm not available for that. Like, that's not really what I envisioned. What are my other options?" And they said, "Well, if he doesn't come on his own, we're going to have to induce him a week before his due date." And I'm like, "Okay, cool. That sounds fine." And then I'm like, "Great, I'll have a vaginal birth," and like all of that. But what I didn't really understand was that inductions create this, they can create a lot of complications. I found myself in a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort, because it's going against nature. I mean, the delivery was happening. Like, they got me in labor by putting a Foley bulb up in my cervix, and then it's basically like a balloon, and they filled it with water. And it was so painful, because what I didn't get to have, all those hormones, that hormone cocktail that supports all that pain that you experience when going through labor. So I said to the doctor, I was like, "This is so painful. I don't know how I'm gonna be able to give birth." And she said, "Well, this is actually a lot more painful than giving birth." And I was like, "Okay." But it was just, it was like one thing after the next. And then I got to the point of having back labor. The pain was so unbearable and excruciating. My intention was to not have any drugs. Like, I was like, "I don't want to have an epidural. I'm committed to having a natural birth," and all of that. Yet, of course, meanwhile, I'm not having a natural birth. So it was just a very, very humbling experience, because I was attached to, you know, having a birth be a very specific way. And I was in so much pain, and that resistance, because of the judgment that I made up about what it meant to have an epidural at the time, I got to the place of just feeling so defeated. And I was like, "I need to have an epidural." And my doula said, "The contractions that you're experiencing, the pain, it's not normal. Like, it's okay. Like, you don't need to continue to experience this pain and the suffering." So it was just a lot. And then I almost had a C-section because my heart rate dropped, his heart rate dropped. And it was like almost in the surrendering and the letting go of the need to not have a C-section. Because I was like, "You know what? I'm just going to surrender and trust that however this baby is meant to come, and my safety, his safety is my number one priority. So whatever that looks like, I'm just not attached." And it was literally almost right after I just let that go. It was like my heart rate normalized, his heart rate normalized, and then I was able to have an epidural. And then I was in labor for 33 hours and in so much pain. I was pushing for 3 hours on my hands and knees, finally delivered him, ripped in a way that was really just horrible and horrific. And they stitched me up in a way that did not work for my body. Infection, I had to have surgery. I was in the hospital for a week. Like, wow. It was one of the most traumatic experiences of my life. I mean, it was really bad.
Wow.
And so that was that. And I had this whole belief that, like, "Oh, thank God I was in the hospital, because I would have died because my baby is so big." And that was kind of the story that I shared with a lot of people, especially like midwives and doulas and all that stuff when we got to Austin. And it was my friend Nicole, who is an amazing, amazing doula, who in a very loving and neutral way, not from a place of making me wrong, but an invitation, she said, "I actually believe that you could have birthed him naturally. Like, your body is made for that. Like, you cannot grow a baby inside of you that's too big." There are different ways you can spin the baby. You can adjust the baby. You can work with your hip. There's just so many different methods to get that baby to move through you. And so it's incredibly rare for a woman to make a baby that is just too big for her to birth. So having said all that, I then, because I was so finite about it, right? I was like, "Thank God I was in the hospital, because if I hadn't been in the hospital, I probably would have died." She's like, "I'll bet you that you could have delivered that baby on your own. Your body's designed, your body's made for this." So I was like, "Oh," and I got really curious, and I opened up to a new possibility. And I thought, okay, because I'm pregnant again. And like clockwork, week 36, they're like, "Your baby is already 10 pounds. So we want to just let you know that your baby may be 11 or 12 pounds. And so they were trying to scare me. And I said, I'm not available for a C-section. They're like, "Next week we need C-section, like emergency C-section." I'm like, "I'm not doing that," because I trusted my body. I trusted myself. I trusted my body. I allowed myself to believe that my body has the wisdom to birth a big baby. I've already done it once. I can do it again. So it was a really, I remember I left the doctor's office and I was crying and crying because he was making me wrong for like how your blood sugar has been. And my blood sugar has been really, really, really good, but maybe you could have done a different way or a better way. And so there's a lot of guilt and shame and fear mongering again. And I held firm on my commitment to trusting myself. And then I got in committed action in my mind of envisioning the birth how I wanted it to go, specifically, literally, like I was so clear about it. And at this time, I was finishing my book because I had a few chapters left. And I said, okay, baby, I'm going to finish my book 4/22/22. That's when I'm going to finish my book, because when baby comes, I'm not going to be wanting to finish writing this book. So I said, baby, and I hadn't named him yet. I said, baby, I do not come before I finish this book. And I was joking with my coach at the time. I said, just watch. I'm going to finish this book 4/22/22. I'm going to send off to the editor. I'm going to go into labor literally like right after. And that's literally what happened. I went into labor 3 minutes after I sent the book, 11:57 p.m., 4/22/22, like barely made the cutoff. I'm in labor for 2.5 hours.
You can't make this shit up, y'all. No. You can't make this up.
No. And it was like, yes, it was painful, but drug-free. And I went to the hospital and it was incredible and amazing. I pushed 8 times. He's in my arms and like perfectly healthy baby, 11 pounds, by the way. Kind of sort of ripped, but she sewed me up perfectly and I healed like a pro and a champ. And it was my redemption birth.
Oh my gosh. So good. Redemption birth. I love that. Mm-hmm. And that was like, was it like a total of 3 hours or something?
2.5 hours. I was in labor.
What the F?
I know.
Wild. Talk about contrast, y'all. Talk about contrast. Ugh. Literally. So freaking good. I'm sure many of you ladies listening, I mean, I was resonating a lot while she was sharing that story. So gives me a lot of inspiration for my next birth, because my first birth was 30 plus hours and it was quite a ride. So, yeah, babe, that's freaking epic. And then I know that when you were pregnant with Jet and that those last like couple months, and you were really, as he was being birthed through you, your inner artist was being birthed, was being reactivated and reignited in such a profound way. And I know a lot of this was due to your whole nature experience journey that you talked about earlier, for sure. I know that ignited a lot within you. And then you got pregnant and then there was just so much creation flowing through you. And then, y'all, I'm so excited because I know we're nearing the end of the episode, but this whole journey that Jenna's went through, that's happened to her, for her, through her, has literally created this, I love meeting this version of you, Jenna, just this fully liberated expression of who you are as an artist. She's been dropping these, oh, I can't wait. I'll let you speak about it because I'm just like, oh, I'm so excited for you.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you. Yeah, what's wild is I had, when I was pregnant with Jax, my first one, my first son, I had all this creativity moving through me. And I just was like, oh, I'm just going to download this abundance course and call it Jenna's Inner Abundance Method and launch a 4-week course 5 weeks before Jax is born, because that seems like a perfectly logical thing to do. And like I downloaded and channeled these abundance mantras, 4 of them. And I made these videos, and I'm not a video producer. Like but I had so much fun doing it. And so I made these videos or like these little, you know, stock video kind of thing. And it was great. And I launched this course and it was super fun and I loved it. And then I met somebody who really, really wanted to help me kind of polish it and repackage it. And he's like, I got to get you in the studio and like, let's just totally amplify these recordings and we'll make some new music and all of that. So that's what we did. And it was literally like in the handful of weeks before Jet was born, I was reproducing these mantras and these videos. And these videos are so epic. And I got to show up and do what I do best, and that is be an artist. And I didn't touch the videos. Of course, I was giving feedback, but there was a whole team just orchestrating and working on the polishing, the like all of it. And it just like so good, so good. And I got this vision of, I want to release an album. I want to release a 4-track EP. And then, of course, the guys who helped me kind of repackage and, you know, re-record, I found out that the audio that they were using, the music, was actually stock music. So I couldn't launch on Spotify. So I'm like, but it was all great and perfect because I found a much better, more amazing producer named Feedback, FDBK. And he's someone I've known for, you know, Jameson. And so He's someone that I have known for almost an eternity. And so he got to, so we just back and forth. And we worked on this song for a year. We worked on it for an entire year, back and forth. Like, this is not it. This is it. And then finally he got it. I was like, now I get to set down the paintbrush. And then the song was done. And I was holding on to it for like 3 months because it was so precious to me. And I'm like, this is my, like, what if people don't like it? What if they don't get it? I don't know how to release a song. I was like, what am I doing? But I finally just gave myself permission to release this song called Permission. And, you know, I got to like live my work weird. And it was just a huge breakthrough for me because the amount of support that I got and the way that the song was received and how many people have used the song on their audio for their reels. And just like, I just had an incredible amount of love and support for having completed it. And yeah, it just, it was having completed that and giving myself permission to know that I'm worthy of creating more has been so freeing for me.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, it's super inspiring, babe. And I'm going to drop the link to her single, newly released single, Permission, which I love and I shared and I'll continue to share. I can't wait for you guys to listen to it. I truly feel there is nothing else out there like it, which is why I'm just so excited. Jenna gave herself permission to enter this new chapter of her life where she really gets to be the artist that she truly is and has always been. So I know more singles are on their way. I'm super excited for it.
The next one is called Paper.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yes. Money, money, paper, abundance,
that's right.
Baby. She's got the abundance codes. Listen, I just can't wait for y'all to hear that because I know, like I said, I've met Jenna through her work. Like I've experienced her firsthand many times. And she's a channel. She's literally channeling in these tracks. So I can't wait for you guys to listen to it. Like I said, we'll put it in the show notes for you and make sure to share it and tag Jenna, let her know, send her a message, let her know your thoughts on it. If any of it resonated for you, if any of it really supported you on your journey, like it has for me and so many others. So, well, there was so much packed in that episode. I got to say, I'm so happy and I'm so excited that you're able to come on, babe. Thank you so, so much for just giving of your time and energy. I love you so freaking much.
I love you too so much. I'm so excited we get to continue to do life together and anything you're up to, I'm all in.
All right, guys, we'll see you on the next episode.
If this episode made a difference for you, please be sure to leave a rating and review. It means so, so much to me, and it fuels me to continue to create more episodes and content like this. Also, as promised, I have a very special and exciting announcement to share with you. If you find yourself currently going through a transition in your life, whether that be an identity shift, a breakup, or maybe you've recently become a new mom like me, maybe you recently become an empty nester, or maybe you just feel like you've lost that spark you once had and you want to reactivate your feminine power. Well, beautiful, I'm excited to announce that I am hosting the Reignite Retreat in October 2023, where I will be curating a special space for women to come to feel, to heal, and clear the old parts of themselves that they are ready to shed so that they can rise up, rediscover, reimagine, realign, and reignite their purpose, their passion, and their life. It's about rebirth. It's about rediscovering yourself, reimagining what's possible for you, and reclaiming your power. So if you're ready and excited to feel reignited from the inside out, come join me at the Reignite Retreat 2023. Click the link in the show notes to learn more and apply. Thanks for listening to today's episode, and we'll see you next time.